Welcome to Dealcast, the voice of Merger Market, the world's premier publication about mergers and acquisitions. I'm Juliana Needham. Several months ago, the National Football League, or NFL, passed a resolution to allow private equity investment into individual teams for the first time. Funds can only hold a small stake in those teams, but it's pushed the door open to a range of opportunities. To find out more, I'm joined by Tom Kane, the funds editor for North America. Hi, Tom. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, Juliana. Great to be on the podcast today.
So could you explain what the resolution is that was introduced several months ago, what it allows and what it means for the NFL teams, and perhaps explain why there's been an aversion to private capital investing in the NFL so far?
Well, that's a great question. I'm not sure if I'd call it an aversion, but what is certainly true is that the NFL is really the last one to the table, so to speak, in terms of major sports all over the world in opening up to private capital. So until now, what you've seen with NFL franchises is ownership models that have been oftentimes really family-based. So that means there's a family structure there. There's children, grandchildren, other relatives involved as well with some level of ownership. And so one of the main drivers for these family investors in opening up to private equity is to give them an avenue now to monetize their investments. But it's not necessarily going to see a change in ownership overall, because the rules stipulate that private equity investors can only buy up to 10%. So we're not going to see 100% of some of these franchises changing hands. A lot of them will be really at that level of the families and individual owners exiting. So that's quite interesting. In terms of what's happened, what does this resolution allow? The way I describe it is the NFL has been rather conservative compared to other sports. For example, here in the States, the NBA, the MLB, and also the Women's NBA Basketball League. So as I was saying before, it's 10% of teams. And essentially what our sources have told us is the league has asked for pre-approved groups to earmark about $2 billion of dedicated funding for investors. And no single investor can own more than 7.5% of those funds that they'll be using to fund these deals. There's only four groups that have been pre-approved. Those are Arcsource Partners, RS Management, Sixth Street Partners, and then a consortium which comprises Blackstone, Carlyle, CVC, Dynasty Equity, and Ludus. So these are all really groups that have a strong, long history and track record in sports investing. It's not for everyone. These funds have the wherewithal to fund and support the next level of growth, and they've got the experience in doing that.
Back in June, I spoke to one of your merger market colleagues in India about how private equity groups have become involved in cricket with deals and investments in the Indian Premier League. And CVC was one of those parties involved in that. It's got a stake in the Gujarat Titans. And interestingly, the Indian Premier League is the second most expensive sporting league in the world after NFL. So the resolution was passed in August, and the four groups that you mentioned have been approved. Can you explain what's happened since then, now they've been given that approval? Have they done any deals? Have they tabled any deals?
Well, absolutely. I think what we've seen happen since then really is the first deals. So we're recording this on 17th of December, and earlier this month we saw two deals announced. So the Buffalo Bills franchise announced the addition of 10 new limited partners. Those included Arcsource, which of course is one of the pre-approved groups, as well as a host of private investors ranging from private equity and financial investors to basketball Hall of Famers. And then the Miami Dolphins, in a really interesting similar deal, announced a 10% stake sale to Ares, so another of the approved investors. They also sold a 3% stake to the owners of the Brooklyn Nets NBA team.
And I wonder if these buyers see a bit more than just a financial investment, whether there's kind of additional kudos for them being invested in these teams.
That's right. Well, I think that's really a key point to highlight. So, and I think this will be an interesting one to watch over time, because it's really, if you think about it, 10% of buying an NFL franchise isn't really an end in itself. Now, these are franchises with huge value. In fact, the average value of an NFL franchise is about $5 billion with about $500 million in debt. But buying a 10% stake is really just, it's just a starting point, really. It leaves the door open to a much broader investment opportunity. So I think here it's useful to have a look at the Miami Dolphins deal with Ares. In fact, I think it's an illustration of how we might see things going forward. We did a recent piece on this. We called it Real Estate Plus. Why? Well, if you look at the print, the terms of that deal, it doesn't only include the stake in the franchise. It also includes assets like the Dolphins' Hard Rock Stadium in Miami and also the operating rights to the Formula One Grand Prix in the city too. That's the kind of structure that really makes sense for these investors. So firms like Ares have a really broad footprint across private equity, across credit, and across real estate. And these kinds of deals are a strategic arrangement where they can bring to bear their real estate expertise and put that into developing the infrastructure around the stadiums, for example, building out the entertainment district. So I think that's just one facet of how this kind of broader opportunity will play out over time.
And could you, that's the Miami Dolphins, can you talk through whether there are any other interesting deals that are being done either between private equity groups or other investors when it comes to infrastructure, real estate and licensing or streaming rights?
Yeah, we've gone through real estate infrastructure. I think the other one, as you said there, Giuliano, the other one is broadcast rights. I think that's another really big opportunity. I think here it's useful to take a look at other sports. So if we look across the pond, so to speak, at soccer, European football, in 2022, Sixth Street, also on the list, they provided financing for FC Barcelona. In return, they got a 25% share of Barca's broadcasting rights for the Spanish league, La Liga, over a 25-year period.
Wow, so it's a really long period of time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very, very long dated. Another example I was going to cite was Inter Milan in Italy. They issued bonds via an entity that holds their media and sponsorship and merchandising rights. Inter actually went into bankruptcy recently, and the bond prices hardly fluctuated during that time. I think that points to the attractiveness of that kind of investment. So it'll be interesting to see if we see more deals like that and also others that maybe fit that kind of real estate infrastructure mold of the Ares Dolphins type deal. One point I'd like to make is if you look at those deals, the Dolphins or the Bills, they were approved after the recent NFL owners meeting, which took place in Dallas. One of the next ones is in Florida in March in Palm Beach. So perhaps we could see more deals announced after that.
And focusing on the NFL, how is the situation likely to evolve in the coming years? We've just talked through some of the interesting deal structures that will be multifaceted, but will there be other private equity groups who will get approval? Will it be on an annual basis to allow them to buy those shareholdings within the NFL teams?
Absolutely. So I think it'll be interesting. As I was saying before, the NFL has taken rather a conservative approach, obviously allowing in, you know, four groups who are really, you know, top sports-focused investors. But there are others out there, of course. The one didn't make the list. So it'll be interesting to see if there's another round that will allow further investors to come in. In the meantime, I think we'll see more deals. So deal flow will definitely pick up. One franchise that we have been reporting on is the Los Angeles Chargers. So they've definitely been earmarked as another franchise that could be up for one of these types of deals. And I'd like to flag as well, just beyond NFL, I think sports investing as a whole is developing into what some deal makers see as an asset class in its own right. In fact, according to Ares, their recent earnings call, the total addressable market for sports investing is about $750 billion globally at the moment. That just points to the size of this opportunity. So why is it attractive? Well, sports is seen as recession-proof, and it can rely on the loyalty of a fan base. So we talked about broadcasting rights previously. There are a ton of opportunities out there to drive revenue from the loyalty of that fan base. One example is streaming content on likes of Netflix and other streaming services. We're seeing more investment, more interest coming into sports, not just from private equity, but from, you know, corporates, from family offices, and it's really developing that asset class as a whole. Of course, really, the NFL is just one opportunity. So another one I'd like to flag is women's sports. So for example, here in the US, women's basketball is becoming more and more popular. Audiences are getting bigger and bigger. Engagement is up. That's thanks to the effects of up-and-coming stars in the women's NBA, for example, Caitlin Clark. I've also been told to watch out for college sports here in the US. That's going to be a really interesting area to watch. I've heard that many college programs might actually turn to private equity for outside investment in the not too distant future. So I think overall it's going to be fascinating to watch how this asset class develops in the coming years.
Yeah, it feels like there's loads of opportunities there. It's a really exciting time, but also it's not for the faint-hearted. We've seen so many problems with sports ownership here in Britain and further afield across Europe with ownership of different football teams. So it's perhaps not the easiest sector to navigate.
Yeah, I think that's right. Certainly not for the faint-hearted. And perhaps that's why the NFL, you know, went fairly conservative to start with. These, as I was saying before, these are really dedicated investors with a strong track record in sports. You mentioned CBC. CBC has done a lot in the space. Arctos is another example. It's really the only pure play sports investor out of those groups approved. And so they announced in August the final close of their Arctos Sports Partners Fund and over $4.1 billion in commitments. So really just points to you have to be dedicated, you have to be specialised and really understand this space.
And one last quick question for you, Tom. With the sports ownership in Britain, there a lot of the owners that have bought the Premier League football clubs have been really, really unpopular. What do the fans make of this change in ownership with the NFL?
I think that'll play out over time. I'm not sure whether it will. I certainly haven't heard yet of any fan opposition. I think you have to think about the benefits that some of these investors might bring in. We've talked before about the family ownership structures of some of these franchises, and oftentimes they're not necessarily the most sophisticated owners. So, for example, private equity, some of the types of players that we've talked about can bring a sophistication in terms of, you know, data analytics, for example, you know, using technology, growing the businesses from a, you know, digital perspective as well. So I think overall, there are a lot of benefits to these types of investors coming in. We'll have to see over time whether there's any fan opposition, but I certainly haven't heard of that, certainly for the NFL just yet.
Great, Tom. Good to talk to you. Thanks a lot. That was Tom Kane, the Funds Editor for North America. Thanks for joining me for this week's episode of Dealcast from Merger Market. If you've enjoyed the podcast, please follow or subscribe, and do please give us a rating and review. For any more information about what we've been talking about on this episode, have a look at our show notes. Join us again next week.